they usually, they sometimes they are where they need to be, but they do a lot of ripping and running.
I met Edwin Day at his office in Austin, just 2 blocks from the western edge of the city. Day works for the nonprofit Youth Outreach Services. His official title is Youth and Family Advocate, but a better way to think of him is as a helper. You may remember Day from our story yesterday about the state's plan to expand a pilot program for kids getting out of youth prison. Under that pilot, kids get what's called an aftercare specialist, who's supposed to be part social worker, part parole officer. Day helps the aftercare specialist keep track of kids on parole, and he helps those kids with all sorts of things. Getting to school, finding a job. He says one time he drove food over to a kid. Another time he bought a school uniform.
They're more comfortable with me because they understand that I'm not a police officer, I'm not a parole officer, because technically the aftercare specialist represents the police to them.
Most of the kids on aftercare don't get this extra help. Day's nonprofit has a special grant to work with just a sliver of kids on the west side. When aftercare is fully expanded, almost all of the 1,400 or so kids in Illinois will only get an aftercare specialist. I wanted to go out with those frontline state workers, who have caseloads almost 2 times bigger than they're supposed to, so I could see the pilot at work. But the Department of Juvenile Justice wouldn't let me. So I went to Edwin Day, who let me ride along while he checked in on some of his charges.
You record now?
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
It's important to remember that this today, afternoon I'm spending with him, every frustrating, difficult minute of it is aftercare at its best. That gives you a good idea of just how difficult these kids are to reach. Day's first visit of the afternoon is a kid who just got done with his second stint in youth prison.
He got sent all the way back to St. Charles because he was hanging out with his buddies. This was the day he was supposed to be going and taking his GED test. And one of his buddies ended up having a gun, and he was charged with the gun.
Day says the youth is doing well so far, but he's not at the house like he's supposed to be.
So why are you doing it for the sake? I mean, you're not trying to get them in trouble, or would you report if the guy wasn't where he's supposed to be?
It depends. You know, I'm not going to just be like, okay, put him in, you know, lock him up, put him in jail. He's not doing what he's supposed to do, because if that was the case, then all of them would be locked up.
A 17-year-old we're calling John is next on the list. He isn't where he's supposed to be either, so we move along. But then we see the very kid Day's looking for.
What you doing? Come here. You ready to go to school?
When?
Right now.
I say that.
Come
yeah,
on. I'm gonna take you.
How am I gonna like this, bro?
You finna go put your uniform on?
Yeah, Bob. Hey, back.
Go ahead. Hurry up.
When I met up with Day, he had just left a meeting with John and John's mom, where the aftercare specialist told him that if he didn't stop smoking weed and skipping school, he was gonna get sent back to prison.
And now he's not a class on time.
Now he's not doing what he's supposed to do. So you're getting a first-hand look at this is it. But for the young people that I work with, they're not bad. We gonna get one up there. They got shirts. Come on. That right there, that's normal teenage behavior, you know. But somebody else would look at it and say, oh, these kids are violent, or these kids are this, or these kids are that. But it's really, they're just kids that's really exhibiting normal behavior, but they just so happen to be involved in the juvenile justice system.
After about 10 minutes, Day calls the house.
Hey, come on.
John protests that if he goes to school a day, he won't have a way to get back home.
I'm gonna pick you up. I'm finna walk you through this. I'm finna be right here with you.
So finally, he comes out.
Throw the book bag on the other side.
We head south to the Ike.
I haven't noticed. It's 1 o'clock already now.
Yeah, I know. Just jump in.
Then about 3 miles east to John's school.
I ain't no use to going now.
You left in time enough to be there. You had no intentions.
John goes to Ombudsman, an alternative school at Western and the Highway. Day says a lot of the aftercare kids he works with go there.
Cause I feel like it's too late though. Like all my, like in school, like I'm at a third grade re-level, all that, bro. It's like I feel like it's too late.
It's never too late. It's never too late. Don't never let nobody tell you that. It's never too late for you to get yourself together.
It'll be a lot of work for me to do, man.
When we get to Ombudsman, Day goes inside to make sure some of the other kids he works with are at school. But John won't get out. Day isn't really concerned. Getting him to go to school today was never really the point. Like, when we were waiting outside of John's mom's house, Day knew there was a good chance he wouldn't go to school.
Even if he don't get it today, just maybe he'll figure in his mind, oh, Mr. Day is trying to really work with me. Man, at least let me try. Because I try to leave the impression on the kids that I care about them and I want them to succeed. And the time that we're spending with trying to get them there, it blocks him actually being somewhere else where he can actually be involved in a crime or something happening to somebody else or something happening to him.
I'm about to get right, though. I'm about to go back to that.
You keep saying that. I'm just waiting on you. And I believe it. I believe it. And while you saying that, I'm going to be right here helping you and being your number one cheerleader, egging you on to do the right thing.
John stays with us as we head back west to check on a 16-year-old we're calling Adam. You might remember Adam from yesterday's story. When I interviewed him in March, he had been out for about 2 months and doing well, going to school and passing his drug tests. But now, Day says he's stopped going to school, he's not going to treatment, he's back to smoking weed, and he's not even checking in with his aftercare specialist.
As of right now, he actually has a warrant for his arrest.
Adam's not at home either, and his mom says she thinks he's back to selling drugs. Before we leave, Day tries Adam's cell.
Hey, you hear me? Can you hear me? Yeah, you heard him.
Yeah, he hung up on you?
Yeah. What? He probably not going to answer.
Please leave your message.
Yeah, he ain't going to answer.
Day is mostly just relieved that Adam is still out of jail. He takes the long view. As long as Adam isn't locked up, he still has time to get through to him. After we drop John off at his sister's house, Day drives me past the house he grew up in Austin. On the way, we pass a bare lot with a handful of young men standing around, like they're waiting for something. I'm Patrick Smith.